Welcome back to Juneau Afternoon. Andy Klein with you. From birds that live here all year long to those that stop here on their migration north and south, Juneau is a birdwatcher's paradise. And here to give us an appreciation of that is Brenda Wright, who's the program manager for the Juneau Audubon Society. Brenda, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a great day to be inside in the out of the weather, isn't it?
I know. What are we doing in here?
I know.
But it is a it's so fun to go birdwatching, of course, when it's beautiful out, but birds are, flitting around and active on all sorts of days, aren't they?
Yes, indeed, especially when there's young ones in the nest. They're very, very busy then, for sure.
Right. So what are some of the big highlights to right now, what's happening this week that maybe people could know about? And then we'll talk a little bit about some of the swallow research and mm-hmm. stuff like that that you guys are looking at.
Yeah, it's really fun. If you happen to be really into birding, you can sign into eBird, which is part of Cornell University, and sign yourself up for special birds in town. Like, we have a Tennessee warbler and a foul rope and a wood duck. And those are things that are very scarce and hard to see. But if somebody sees them and reports them, then you can go look for them too.
That's cool. Yeah. So, and then what are some of the more common ones that are around right now that people are really, if you're seeing birds right now, mm-hmm. what are you likely seeing this time of year?
You know, the fun thing about birds this time of year is that it's a little warm in the afternoon and the light comes really early in the morning. So they're going to be singing between 3 and 6 a.m., and then they're going to calm down and rest for some of the hotter part of the day. But if they have babies, they're working all the time.
Yeah, all right.
But I've been noticing, especially just this last couple days, that the varied thrushes are starting to sing again. And since they've been here since late March or maybe even late February, they might be starting to set up another nest. And the same for robins.
Tell me about that. So the varied thrushes that you always hear, kind of always the first sign in a way that winter's breaking mm-hmm. and spring is happening. But then you don't hear them as much then.
No. When they're busy on the nest, they don't want to attract anything. They already got their lady. They got their nest. And so all they want to do is just make sure those eggs hatch, and then they get terrible busy feeding everybody.
Right. But then they can have a second brood of
It's like the two that live here most with us, like the dark-eyed junco, they often, they're here. And so they start really early in April. And so they're starting to sing again. Last week they were starting to sing again. And the song sparrows, at least the ones that live with us all winter, often do two nests also.
Oh, that's interesting.
So they're singing again. So, you thought, well, wait a second. I thought I heard them earlier. But, if they're singing again, they're probably going to have another nest.
I've heard that robins can sometimes have two nests
yes,
as well.
Indeed.
Yeah, uh-huh. Right.
And, we had that really warm spell in May, so food was plentiful. It was easy to find, and the babies were warm. And
yeah.
So, everybody's got to take a while. Mostly 18 to 20 days from hatch to fledge.
Oh, is that right? Mm-hmm. But then they're still hanging out with them, right?
Yeah, a lot of times they just beg. I've watched the winter wrens, the little babies they hop around flying right and almost landing on their parents, begging while the food's right next to them.
I've seen that with robin chicks as well. Yeah. Now, I wanted to ask you about something that's happened. I live in the flats, so mm-hmm. something I've seen in my yard is European starlings.
Yes.
Okay, tell me about these things, because I don't like them.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. They've been here over 100 years.
Have they?
Yes,
I thought they were new and, invasive.
No. Oh. Well, they did bring them from Europe to New York, because at one point in time, there was a Shakespearean society in New York City that had to have every bird that was mentioned in Shakespeare in the park. And the starlings.
The Shakespeareans just left.
I know.
And we're going to have them to blame for the European starling.
And the starlings liked it so well here that they went sea to sea.
They have a really, they're interesting because they, in some ways, they're sort of robin size.
Yes.
They eat a lot of what the robins eat, but they seem to be, they have more eggs. Right, in a clutch, I think.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Yeah, and I think that they I've read about them a little bit, and they can have multiple clutches in a season. So mm-hmm. they end up really populating, quickly.
Yes. Places like where there's a lot of agriculture, there are millions of starlings.
Right.
Here, the same thing happened. Some folks came here from New York, and they wanted starlings, so they brought them. But most generally, there's less than 100 of them here.
Okay.
They just have been able to hang out And they mostly live downtown.
Yeah, that's where I live, and that's
just like the rock pigeons.
Yeah, exactly. Those pigeons. Oh,
And so if you really want to see them, go down by the whales sometime on low tide, and they're all there feeding there. So they've had to adjust a lot to be able to survive here because the winters are harsh for them.
Well, tell me a little bit about this tree swallow project that's happening right now.
Yeah, so the Juneau Audubon Society has been doing this for about since 2015. We got a little bit of a fundraiser going, and we got enough money to build 35 tree swallow boxes. And since then, we've had Juneau School and other folks, younger folks, build us more boxes. So we have 62 now. But the whole reason for doing this is that tree swallows, like a lot of other insect-eating birds, are just hitting the skids east of the Mississippi, just terrible bad. They're just 90% of the population has disappeared in 30 years. And so what they wanted to do is they said, well, do you have a healthy population? Is it something that if we know about your birds in Alaska, just like the eagles, after they finally got rid of all those bad poisons that hurt the eagles so bad, we sent them eagles. And now they have a really healthy population in all 49 states. I don't believe Hawaii likes those kind of eagles. But so we were able to do that. But when they came to Alaska and said, how many do you have? We go,
We don't know.
And so the Alaska Songbird Institute in Fairbanks started up this project over 20 years ago. They have 100 boxes there. They have seven or eight sites in Alaska with 100 boxes. And we're trying to find out how healthy the population is here so we can share.
This is basically trying to get baseline data on what our normal population of tree swallows
is. Yes, because almost all of our birds that come to Alaska come from Mexico. So we're only half the story.
They fly, have this huge fly zone that they're going through. Yeah,
and they're the most interesting way they migrate. It's a very different way for them. They only go a couple hundred miles at a time and then molt a few feathers. Almost everything sheds all their feathers all at once. They're all flightless. And they have to eat tons of stuff like the geese do and get all their feathers back, and then they can migrate. But no, the tree swallows, just a couple hundred miles, find a nice buggy swamp, stay there a couple weeks, go down. It takes them 3 months to get to Mexico.
Because they're just slowly molting, just a few feathers at a time.
But, you know, you don't want to fly too far without all your flight feathers.
Right,
so you want, like, instead of a little pin feather, you want a real feather.
Well, tell me, you said that the populations have really been decimated in the lower 48. Mm-hmm. Is that insecticide? What are some of the root causes of that?
An awful lot of it is the types of insecticides and herbicides they're using in agriculture now.
I see.
Yes.
That are very effective for protecting crops.
They're very effective. Yeah. And some of them, they were so sure, it was kind of like I don't want to imply anything, but, you know, like DDT, everything was fine. It didn't hurt anything, but it lasts forever. But these guys were not supposed to last forever. However, they are finding them in water and soil out over 5 years later. So if you kill all the things that a person eats, then that person might not be able to survive.
Right, and same with birds.
Same with birds, if there's no insects. It's just like the same thing. There's really terrible trouble with bees right now, and it's a very similar problem because they don't want to kill the bees, but the bees are being infected too.
Yeah, and that's because of weed killing and that kind of thing. And so they're killing out these native flowers that the bees would otherwise be.
Yep. Sometimes it's nice to let your yard go to wild flowers that are native to your area.
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting point. What would you recommend for someone that wants to really make a great little bird habitat in their yard? What sort of things would you suggest?
Well, you know how all of us really like mosquitoes and no-see-ums and water skippers.
Yeah, we hate them.
But if you have a little water element, you're going to have more of those. And so the birds will really like that. And on days like this, fresh water is a premium, actually. And so you just give them a little bit of fresh water, they'll be happy with that too.
So like a bird bath kind of a thing, but keep the water fresh?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it seems like, you know, they've been around forever. But it really does work. And what do birds get out of that? They're just actually drinking the water? Do they also want to bathe?
Some of them definitely want to bathe. Some use sand, which is also pretty effective, but they all have mites. They all have little parasites that make them itch. And so anything that helps relieve that is good for them.
Yeah. What is there indication about the health of the birds in Juneau? About have there been ups and downs, or are there certain species that maybe are causing concern right now?
Well, I'm sure you must have heard of Mary Lou King. She's been
she's
a senior person in Audubon forever and ever. Well, that was one of the things she was so happy about, because where she lives on Sunny Point, she said she used to see hundreds of tree swallows every spring, and then they kept getting less and less and less. And now that we have some right there on some seal trust land, she's so happy to see them swarming around her house again, because she has a small pond with lots of mosquitoes.
Yeah. And they fly almost like bats, don't they?
Yes. Their little legs are not used for stepping or picking up or anything. They even drink water by sipping through the pond and just tipping their beak down.
Is that right? They don't hop around, or they're just used for perching.
Yeah.
It's the only thing they use their legs for, really.
Yeah. They're little puny things. I would hate to have to band them.
And are they banded?
Well, you know, if you have a bander that's available, yes, indeed, especially up in the interior where they have those 100 boxes. Mm-hmm. And the Alaska Songbird Institute up there has a great big thing with, 15 or 20 interns, almost all under 12 years old.
Oh, that's great.
They help with the whole project. Audubon has sponsors one intern every year.
That's great. So tell me a little bit about, you were mentioning the way that they migrate, but where do tree swallows migrate from?
Well, they live in this, in an, the ours, uh-huh. they found out from the banding, go just a couple hundred miles into Mexico, and they stay close to the West Coast.
West Coast, so, but they say coastline. They don't go into the desert?
No.
I guess that's sort of desert country there.
It is.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they still eat bugs all year round.
So. Right, right. Yeah, so they need bugs. They need to.
And they do kind of congregate. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen those pictures of starlings and the millions doing those susurrations of huge clouds like look like gnats. But as the birds travel south, they get into large groups, several hundred, sometimes thousands of swallows will all be going south together.
Oh, I didn't realize they flocked that way.
Yeah,
oh.
they can be in really large groups down there, too. So you want to live next to them because they eat mosquitoes.
Yeah, they eat them like crazy. Yeah, yeah. Although you're living by mosquitoes then, too.
Yes, indeed.
So. So it's both. Yeah, so I guess the fact that we don't have – I mean, in Alaska, we don't have large-scale agriculture. So the insecticide piece is not as much of a concern here, I would think.
Yeah, that's correct. But right. We're still, we don't know enough about the overwintering habitat, too, because if they're only here for basically 3.5 months or so, travel for 3 months going back, they're down there mostly for most of 6 months.
Yeah, right.
Well, and we do have a couple other swallows that live here, too. The ones, the violet green that live downtown, you might see them around Gold Creek every once in a while. They happen to like McDonald's and bars. I think it might be the greasy smell.
Oh, is that right?
It attracts a lot of bugs, too.
Oh, the bugs. Okay, okay.
Yeah, but if you want to see one of them.
And then cliff swallows, I've also heard about.
Well, no, our cliff swallows don't live here. They do pass through.
Okay.
But we have barn swallows that build a big open cup mud nest. You can see them right at the glacier.
Okay.
And the bank swallows, which, like unlike their name, they dig into a bank on the river and live there.
Oh, very good. So there's lots of different swallows to see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's really – it's all so fascinating always to talk to you about what's happening in the bird world here in Juneau. Thanks for being here. And that's Brenda Wright, Programs Manager for the Juneau Audubon Society. Any place that people should go to get more information or to
– Oh, we do have a really nice Facebook page, and we have Instagram and our web page. And we don't have any scheduled walks coming up. But we're always going to tell you about what the best birds are to see in town.
Great. Brenda, thanks so much for coming in. Really
appreciate
it. Okay.
Thank you.